Would you turn in your Bibles to the 150th Psalm? The 150th Psalm. It is the last Psalm. Psalm 150. I'll read it in its entirety. It only consists of 6 verses. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. If you have that passage, would you say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Psalms are a collection of spiritual songs. And they were used for the purpose of corporate worship, the corporate worship of Israel in ancient times. You should know, as you probably already do, that the Psalms were written, this collection of Psalms were written by various and numerous authors: Moses, the sons of Korah, the priest, David's son, Solomon, Asaph, among others, and of course, David, Israel's greatest king and warrior, who happened to be the most prolific author of the Psalms, meaning he wrote more than any other individual. In general, the Psalms are a collection of praises and prayers. In light of the vicissitudes of life or the ever-changing state of the human condition. The Psalms then covers life in its full circle, its ups as well as its downs, the joyous as well as the saddest of times. The Psalms include addressing those pains and hurts as well as moods and times of euphoria. The Psalms covers the lives of persons at their lowest depths, in bad moods and extremely vulnerable times, as well as times when people are in good moods and in the height of exhilaration. It covers the whole spectrum of the human experience that we all endure. The Psalms were also written by persons who were often in vulnerable states, and we immediately think of King David. Within the reading of the Psalms, its content deals with life head on and with brutal honesty. As one person wrote of the Psalms, they said, "There is groanings over sin, meditation on the dark depths of divine providence, fainting faith, and even foiled aspirations." It should be said that as at a glance we see not only poetic perfection, but there is also great substance in the book of Psalms. The 150th Psalm, as I mentioned a moment ago, is the last of the 150 total Psalms, and it provides a climactic conclusion to the book of Psalms as a whole. Isn't that amazing? That in just six verses, chapter, or the 150th Psalm, we should rightfully say, is a concluding statement on all of the previous 149 Psalms before it. The 150th Psalm has been called the finale of the spiritual concert. And it seemingly presents a summary of all that should have been taken in, even by the most casual reader of the first 149 previous Psalms. Or it should have been taken in by the worshiper who had heard these Psalms being sung in the congregation over and over again, generation after generation even. This Psalm, 150 particularly, is a tribute, as it were. It's a tribute to Israel and the world's greatest and only true God, the Lord of Israel and the Savior of His people. In some instances, this psalm is like the Lord their God has been on trial. And the 150th Psalm provides the climactic verdict. In the psalmist's own words, the Lord of Israel is not only vindicated, but is proven even more worthy of the praises of the Lord's people, as well as the praises of the entire universe. If you notice that the psalm did not say, let every person that has breath, but everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Now this term praise has been used some 13 times in this 1 6-verse psalm. 13 times in six verses, I think we get the idea that the psalmist wanted us to know something about praise. The author believes that he cannot emphasize enough the firm thought that the Lord is worthy of praise. Praise is just as appropriate in California as it is in Cameroon or Connecticut, just as appropriate in Japan as it is in Johnstown, or just as appropriate in Hong Kong as it is in Hawaii. Praise works whether it's given behind the cloth curtain of a hospital room or the steel bars of a prison cell. Praise works anywhere. It is certainly an appropriate and works just as well in a darkened coal mine or in the brilliance of an operating room. Praise is appropriate in a country chapel or an urban cathedral. Praise can break out in the White House or in an outhouse. Praise is the highest expression of gratitude the human being is capable of. It is not necessarily scripted, but is often spontaneous. A spontaneous response to the goodness of God. It is the result of the head and the soul collaborating on the greatness of our God and the sincere and deepest appreciation of the Christian to their God. Genuine praise is an installment payment on the debt of gratitude from the receiver to the lender. Praise then is one's highest expression of honor to their God. It is the dependent's response to the dependable and the response by the lacking to the divine supplier. Praise is both duty as well as the privilege of the saints. The 107th Psalm, verse 2, says it appropriately. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's difficult to conceive how anyone who believes in our great God should need to be prodded or reminded of our duty and the privilege of praise. Our comprehensive view of the Almighty tells us of the Lord's fresh mercies that are so obviously all over the works of God's hand. God's greatness and God's grandeur is seen without the assistance of corrected lenses or without the assistance of an imagination, because they are cleanly and clearly seen, as Paul states in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For his invisible attributes, Paul says, namely his eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. And Paul was addressing the unbelieving world. Finally, it should be noted in my introduction of this 150th Psalm that the Psalm also provides the what, the whom, the where, the why, and the how of praise. And between this Sunday and the next, by God's grace, I intend to address those. I will get to two of them this morning and limit myself to just two. Who or what should praise the Lord? Well, the 148th Psalm makes it very clear who or what should be included, and if anything or anyone is excluded. The 148th Psalm, verse 2 says, praise him all his angels. So to the celestial crowd, there is the command to praise him. It's not asking for praise, it's a command to praise. Praise him all of his angels. 148th Psalm, verse 2 says, in that same verse, in the same chapter, it says, praise him all his hosts. Verse 3 of the same 148th chapter, praise him sun and moon. That might strike us as being a little unusual. Praise him sun and moon. Well, when you stop and think about it, to get up in the morning and go outside, perhaps, or look through your window and see the sun peeking over the horizon in all of its glory, all of its God-given glory, that's praiseworthy all within itself. Or at the end of a day, had the sun, having done its job and is about to clock out because it's worked its shift, and as it descends down under the horizon and see the beauty of that sun having turned a golden yellow and then orange and slowly disappears from our sight as if to say, see you tomorrow. That's praise. Or see the moon replace the sun in the sky and provide sufficient light at nighttime. To see it standing alone, only suspended and held in place by the hand of God, and sending that beautiful glow over the surface of the earth, that's praiseworthy. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. If you are much of a reader, you know that scientists are finding that there are more and more stars, more than can possibly be counted. I read just 2 days ago, I believe it was, that the scientists are discovering new things about space. Shockingly, the expansiveness of God's and the enormity of God's creation. All you shining stars, praise him. You can't look at a star-lit sky and not think of the goodness of God. Praise him, you highest heavens. It's been said by theologians that there are seven heavens, the seventh heaven being the highest. Praise him, you highest heavens. Verse 7 of that same chapter says, praise the Lord from the earth. So the what? Praise him from the earth, you sea creatures and all deeps. So even the whales and the dolphins and the fish of every size and color and shape, they all are commanded to praise the Lord. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the dolphins swimming in such syncretic style. To see them go below the surface and come above the surface and dive. To see how they can flip and turn, and what a display of the gift of God to these animals. The flexibility they have and the speed in which they navigate the oceans. You creatures of the deep, or when we have seen pictures, or perhaps some of you have gone and seen the whales in person and seen them as they emerge from the depths, their massive bodies, and see how they, it is as if they are rising above the ocean to show off the grandeur that God has made them into. Praise him, you sea creatures in all the deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy winds. Praise him. See, we may not always enjoy the depths of the cold weather, or for those who live in snowy regions, or those who live in even more stormy regions than we do. But to see the fierceness and the power of God, that's praiseworthy. We don't take joy, of course, in seeing any damage that those winds have done, but to see the mighty hand of God over God's creation. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Cedars, that indisposable tree, that wood that does not rot or decay. Mountains and all hills. There's a reason why people climb mountains. They're just bolder than most of us who appreciate how beautiful they are. Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. That's who or what should praise the Lord in verse 10. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the rulers of the earth. Verse 11, young men and maidens together, old men and children. In other words, this is an expansive list of who or what should praise the Lord. Not just people, you and me. Those who have the capacity to reason and talk to God and receive words from God. But even those animals who do not have the capacity that we do, they have been given certain capacities that in their behavior, even their existence, the majesty of these creatures is praiseworthy. And we thank God every time we see an expression of the handiwork of God. No one is excluded. No thing is excluded from praising the Lord. Everything and everyone is the recommendation of the psalmist. It includes everyone and leaves off no one or nothing. It is to be a full choir and complete orchestra of people, nations, tongues, and 1,000 times 1,000 creatures who should all burst forth in beautiful, harmonious praise to the Lord. Each person, each creature, every planet, and every star have their own unique praise to the Lord. Everything and everyone giving its own testimony. After all, no one can praise the Lord for you. You have to praise the Lord for what the Lord has done for you. And only I can praise the Lord for what the Lord has done for me. From the original indigenous peoples of Australia to the Eskimos in Alaska, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It means every Baptist, religious folks, every Baptist, whether you're Southern, National, Progressive, Fundamentalist, Free Will, Independent, Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Every Methodist, United, Wesleyan, AME, AME, Zion, praise the Lord. Every Catholic, Roman, Greek Orthodox, every Ukrainian or Russian Orthodox, praise the Lord. Every Church of Christ, every Church of God, every Episcopalian, every Holiness Church, every Lutheran, Nazarene, Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ, Apostolic, Church of the Living God, Assembly of God. Praise the Lord. Let every Presbyterian, you didn't think I'd get to that, did you? Cumberland, Orthodox, PCA, Reformed Presbyterian, United Presbyterian, Presbyterian USA. Let everything, everyone that has breath, praise the Lord. Every Jewish worshiper, whether Orthodox or Reformed, must praise the Lord. Let every young, every not so young person, the aged, the single, the divorced, the married, the rich, the poor, the healthy, and the weakened, let everything and everyone praise the Lord, the noble, the proud, the humble, those who rule as well as those who are being ruled are all commanded to praise the Lord. It's believed that this psalm was initially only sung by the priests. I can't imagine that. But I believe it. But then I guess the priests just thought it was just too good to keep to themselves. And then they opened it up to all the congregants who gathered there, first in the tabernacle and then in the temple. It was too good to keep for themselves, but everyone must have the opportunity to express their thanks to the Lord. It's too good to keep to yourself. Whatever the Lord has done or is doing for you is too good to keep to yourself. Why do you say that, Pastor? I say that because I am blessed when I see you blessed. And I hope you are blessed, encouraged when you see that someone else is blessed. You have given the Lord, or may I ask, have you given the Lord thanks? The thanks that the Lord is worthy of. Have you told the Lord recently? And persistently, have you told the Lord, thank you for what God has done? Do we take for granted what the Lord has given us and continues to provide for us? Or are we a thankful people, anxious to come to the house, the assembly of the saints, and give thanks to the Lord? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 107:1. Amen.